What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
That's literally how conversations between Lonzo and I start in the morning. Good morning. Shut the hell up. That's what Lonzo says to me, though.
Nuh-uh.
Ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, children of all ages, welcome in. The four-hour sports talk extravaganza that is the Rob Brown Show starts right now. Welcome in, everybody. Great to have you. Happy whatever today is, Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday. I don't know. Time's a flat circle and a blur at the same time.
It's Tuesday, man.
Sure. Take your word for it. Welcome in. Great to have you. Hope you're well. Hope you're just out there living your best life. I am Rob Brown, the great one Lonzo on the other side of the metaphorical glass to Sam. It is, as you may have heard, perhaps you have not. If not, worry not. It's what Zoe and I are here for. It is Big Game TM week this week. On the show, we're going to be talking quite a bit more Super Bowl. Yesterday, I started giving you my six most important variables, X factors, whatever you want to call it, to Super Bowl licks. Down in New Orleans, Louisiana. That's a well-timed drop. Started giving you my six most important variables. I gave you three yesterday. I'll give you at least a couple more today on the show because, you know.
Okay, why is it called a lick? I mean.
It's Super Bowl licks.
Yeah, that sounds kind of.
It's Super Bowl L-I-X.
Okay, because that sounds kind of nasty.
Top of your head, what Super Bowl are we on?
The 52.
That's exactly why it's Super Bowl licks. Because I don't know, you don't know, we don't know. It is what it is. It's Super Bowl licks.
What number is it?
I don't know. IX is not 59?
It's probably 59, yeah.
What?
Yeah, IX would be 9.
L-I-X. Yeah, 59. Nailed it. God, I'm big smart boy over here.
Sorry, I'm a DC fan, and 52 is a big number in DC.
Super Bowl licks taking place down in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Comic books, not the place. Somewhat DC. You
know. I know. I was coming up with a very smart casting joke there, but I'm going to.
I drove through there on this bridge that I thought I was going to die on because we thought we were going to avoid the bridge because I don't do well on bridges. And it's a really big bridge. And the whole time my wife and son are going, you can be okay. You're going to be okay. I am not.
Can I ask out of sincere curiosity, not judgment? You don't do well on bridges.
Yeah, I start to freak out. It's not, I don't know. I hate my brain. I don't know why. I get mad at myself, but now a single lane bridge, I can't do it anymore. I will go 15, 20 minutes out of the way to avoid a single lane bridge.
Really?
Because my heart starts pounding like crazy, and My limbs start to stiffen up. It is so weird, dude, because I don't know why it happens. It didn't used to, but it does now. So
So ordinarily, something like that is connected to some sort of childhood trauma.
I have been told that the hair inside my ears may be curled up, and that causes that. Not the hair that grows out. There's like inner ear stuff. If I had so much hair inside my ears that it was causing me to be afraid of bridges, you don't think I would have got it cut out?
It is exceptionally rare in this 17-year career of mine that we hit a point where I genuinely don't know what to say. Not about the bridge thing. The bridge thing, I'm so curious about. I have 1,000 questions. All right, is it based in childhood trauma? Do you perhaps have some sort of repressed memory about a bridge in there, and this is how it manifests? Is there something from your past that triggered this? And instead, what I got hit was the hair inside my ear is curled up in a way.
All right, so I looked it up. Inner hair cells, also known as cells, are specialized sensory cells located in the cochlea, the spiral-shaped organ of hearing in the inner ear. They play a crucial role in converting sound vibrations into electrical signals that are transmitted to the brain for interpretation as sound. So, listen, several people have told me that there's a problem, that some people have this problem where their inner, and it could be a conspiracy, I don't know, where their inner hair.
I believe in you. We're going to get you through this.
It curls up and it causes you to be nervous on certain, it's a balance problem, apparently.
So.
Because your hearing does have to do with your balance and all that kind of stuff.
I am aware of the connection between the vestibular system in your inner ear and how that impacts balance, right? There are effectively canals filled with fluid and hairs inside of your ear holes. And when you start to go wonky one way or the other, is that fluid sloshes around in your ear canal and it triggers these hairs. They send a signal to the synaptic gaps in your brain that says, uh-oh, he's leaning too far this way. Uh-oh, he's leaning too far that way. That way. And it helps you kind of coordinate and make sure you're standing up straight. I have not heard before, and I'm really interested in this, that they would trigger some sort of it. Is it like
all right, I just looked at inner ear problems are common cause of dizziness, as the inner ear houses the vestibular system, as you were talking about, which is responsible for balance. So any disruption in its function can lead to feelings of dizziness or vertigo.
Sure. But again, I feel like senses of vertigo and dizziness are different than I'm afraid of bridges.
Wait, there's a thing called labyrinthitis?
Does it help me to, like, sing cliche 1980 songs?
Something about a babe.
What babe?
I'm not going to continue. Yeah, this is why I'm not getting into, we are getting into this. So anyway, this is a cause of vertigo. And vertigo is what I get, and then I start to panic. So I used to climb on top of houses, climb top trees, do all kinds of parkour, stupid stuff before parkour was called parkour, was not scared at all. And then when I moved here, I started having trouble going through the mountains. And the mountains is when the panic really started and the vertigo. If I look to the left and there's a cliff, I just suddenly go fall to my right or whatever. I just do that. And now it started to do it on bridges. And I think it has to do probably with altitude and age. I don't know. I haven't had it checked out because what are they going to do?
Hopefully fix it. I'm
not sure it's fixable.
It's right. But doctors might be.
You know what doctors?
Therapists also possibly
too. You know what they do? They do this thing. They charge money and lots of money. And even with good insurance, you still got to pay lots of money. And there's this thing I can do to where I don't have to pay lots of money. Just don't go over any mountains or bridges. This is why I haven't been home in a decade, because someone would else, some, it's not even about me driving. If someone else is driving, I freak out to the point where I have to put something over my head and just watch something on my phone or something. And I can still feel it.
I do not have the degrees nor credentials to address this. Honestly, I don't. I think we're going to, hey, how about that Luka Doncic trade?
You wanted to go deeper into this, not me.
I know, mean, because I'm genuinely curious, because I you're not the first person I have known that has a bridge thing.
Do you think I'm happy about it? I am ticked at my body. I'm ticked at my brain that it gets mad over something so stupid. I mean, it's not stupid. If you go off the side of a really large bridge, a single bridge, you're going to die probably. But still, I mean, that fear that causes everything to lock up, it shouldn't be happening.
Don't you have to cross over a bridge on the interstate every day?
Or do you get several bridges, but not a single lane bridge. The worst single lane bridge. The worst single lane bridge in this area is if you are going southbound on 385 and needing to get off on Woodruff Road. I will not get off on that exit. So I will get off at Roper Mountain, or we'll go past and get off at bridges and come back.
You will go past, down, off, and around back of back road.
Yes.
Okay.
Because here's the thing, my panic may lead to an accident that hurts other people, not just me. So I'm not going to do that.
This is one of those things.
They say face your fears. In this case, facing my fears could hurt people, and I'm not going to do that.
It's commendable. This is honestly not a judgment. It's a case of curiosity.
Well, my children had never seen me be scared before until they saw that happen. So it freaked them out so bad, they will go out of their way to make sure that I don't go over those kind of
things. Fair enough. All right, we got a lot to get to on the show today. Again, it is Super Bowl Licks Week. We're going to be getting into that. A lot of NFL news and notes from yesterday. Myles Garrett, reigning defending NFL Defensive Player of the Year, says, I want up out of C-Town. That's not a shock. My man's been there for coming up on a decade now. He has got an 0-16 season under his belt. They're coming off of a 3-14 this year. They are not going to have the capability of being good for at least another couple of years, as they've still got the Deshaun Watson issue that they've got to deal with, a lot of money wrapped up in that cat. So they genuinely just can't be good for another couple of years. That's not the interesting part of this story. The interesting part of this story is that Andrew Berry, the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, within minutes was asked by the media, are you ready to trade Myles Garrett? Do you want to put out a feeler or whatever? And Andrew Berry said, no, we're not trading the guy. We expect to keep him here until he is enshrined in Canton, Ohio. We're not sending him anywhere. I don't care if he wants out. Somebody said, what about for like two first round picks? And he said, no. It's not happening. So I want to get into that a little bit later in the show. I did a little bit of research yesterday because, you know, the Luka Doncic trade. And yes, it is still a topic of conversation. I went to two different business establishments yesterday. Places that I go regularly. And not once, but twice yesterday. In places that I go regularly and ordinarily am not spoken to, like not like, ew, there's Rob to talk to that guy.
Well, they probably hear you before you.
Also that. Yeah. Places that I go to that I have been told before, you know, I like sports, but I don't want to talk sports because, like, I know you talk sports all day and I don't want to just be the next guy who talks sports. Yeah, whatever. If you see me in public and you want to talk sports, come say hi. I do this job because I love sports, so it's a great gig. I never mind talking football. I got into not one but two conversations from people out in public. They were like, Rob, what's your take on this trade? Like, why are people so up in arms about this trade? And I have a couple of things I want to get to. Not necessarily from a basketball perspective, although I did find the number yesterday, including Charles Barkley, the number of players yesterday, former players, who were saying, I don't know what the Lakers are thinking, Luka and LeBron can't coexist, is interesting. Chuck Barkley was on that wagon. I think Kevin Garnett was on that wagon. But aside from that, there's another very interesting angle to this trade, and that is the ownership group of the Dallas Mavericks that took over from Mark Cuban. And I did a little bit of a deep dive on who they are, because yesterday it started to trickle out that effectively the ownership group of the Dallas Mavericks just handed the keys to GM Nico Harrison. We're like, just go run this thing for us, right? Go run this thing. And I think that that backs up a philosophy, state of mind, whatever. A philosophy, a state of mind that I have been sharing with all of you for many, many years at this point. And by many, many years, I mean we're like 20-some-odd days away from the 5-year anniversary of the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate. And I've had this take that entire time. So I'm going to get to that later on in the show. Speaking of owners, because Eric just texted the show and said, Rob, are you avoiding the Saints mass cover-up? No, I'm not, Eric. No, I'm not. I'm actually going to get to that coming up here in just a few minutes. You have heard me, if you've listened to this show for any length of time, you have heard me say that we do the best we can to keep sports and, I'm going to use the word politics, but I think it's probably better to say sports and real life separate from each other. But as much as you can try to take this side of the Venn diagram and slide it over here and take this side of the Venn diagram and slide it over here, there's always going to be that little sliver of the Venn diagram where sports and real life intersect and interact with each other. And I have to tell you, and I don't mean to make this about me, but I am a Saints fan. And I am having, more so than I have ever had before, I'm having a crisis right now. Because if you did not hear yesterday what is happening with my New Orleans Saints, it's very gross. It's disgusting. I am at a point where, and this part is not an exaggeration, around my bro cave at the house, I have around all four walls, up at the top of the wall, anybody who's watched the, you know, anytime I've streamed from home, you've seen this. All the way around the walls, this up by the ceiling of my bro cave, on all four walls of my bro cave, I have hats, baseball hats, that are hanging around. And hanging off the walls, I have, I would estimate, probably in the ballpark of 17 to 20 New Orleans Saints hats. This is not a joke. This is not an exaggeration. Yesterday, at about 7 o'clock at night, I went around the room. I took down all of those caps. I stacked them into one stack. I then went into the attic in the guest room, pulled down one of my storage containers. I put every one of those Saints hats into that storage container, and I put it back in the attic. I will not be wearing New Orleans Saints gear until, I don't know, Gail Benson sells the team. I will not be wearing New Orleans, and it has nothing to do with football. If you didn't hear this story yesterday, it's absolutely disgusting, And while I think, honestly, it is probably for the best if I was to ignore it, I don't think I can. I don't think I can as a host. I don't think I can as a Saints fan. I don't think I can as a person. And so we will address that, this disgusting situation that is coming out from my favorite NFL team when we come back here in just a minute. Because I feel gross. I feel gross. I put away my Saints gear yesterday, and it will not be coming out for a very long time. And I'll tell you why when we come back. Rob Brown, the great Milanzo, and you. It's the Rob Brown Show. It's the Fan Upstate.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I have been a fan of the New Orleans Saints quite literally since I have been born. I was wrapped in a Saints blanket the day that I was born. I have a Florida Lee tattooed on my back. I have been a fan of my football program since, hell, I'll say my conception. Forget inception. When I was a kid, my old man would take me over to Saints games in New Orleans. I was born there. We moved to Florida when I was very young. And however, we had family in New Orleans, always have. And so regularly, my dad would take me over to Saints games, me and my little brother. Part of the reason that I am a sports broadcaster is because when I was young, after New Orleans Saints games, my dad would take me right across the street from the New Orleans Superdome, and we would walk into the hotel where the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert, after games, could frequently be seen knocking back a Sally Brewski, and the Saints postgame show emanated from. There was a cat named Buddy DiLiberto, went by Buddy D. He was everybody's favorite drunk sports-loving uncle. He would sit at that bar, and he would do the Saints post-game show, and he would just rant about how terrible the team was. Something that if you were a Saints fan, you obviously, at some point, get used to. I used to laugh hysterically because Buddy D would frequently call anybody in the organization who just didn't get it, of which there was no shortage. He would call them squirrels. I love that guy growing up. I used to be entertained as hell by that guy. And then when I found out that, oh, I could do that too, I jumped into broadcasting. I have been a Saints fan. Some of my favorite memories of all time are based around this football team. When the Saints finally won their Lombardi Trophy. Unfortunately, my grandfather, who had been a Saints fan since the beginning of that football team, was no longer with us to see it and experience it. My father was deep in his battle with cancer. At that point, we knew it was going to kill him. We just didn't know when. My dad got to experience that Super Bowl. I had to work that night. I was working for a radio station when the New Orleans Saints won the Super Bowl. I didn't go to Miami. I wish I would have, but I didn't go to Miami. I passed because the radio station paid me an inordinate amount of money to go host a Super Bowl remote because they knew for as long as I had been broadcasting in that market and as a Saints fan and as we were the flagship station of the New Orleans Saints in the Florida Panhandle, they knew that if anybody was going to get people to come out to a Super Bowl party, it was going to be me. So they paid me like four times my regular talent fee to go host a remote. I took that instead of going to the game. I regret it immensely. However, I also don't. Because after that broadcast was over, after the New Orleans Saints won the Lombardi Trophy, I went back to my house, my mom and dad's house. I went back to my family's house, and there were aunts, uncles, cousins, grandma, and there was my dad in his Drew Brees t-shirt reaching on top of the fridge and grabbing a bottle of champagne that he had been carrying around for as long as I could remember, swearing we would open it and only open it when the New Orleans Saints won the Super Bowl. To the point that even when I was a youth, my dad said, "Hey, look, if they don't win it before I die, you're getting this bottle of champagne. And you will not open it until they win. And if you die and they haven't won one, you give it to your kid. And he'll open it when we win one." The Saints have been a huge part of my life for my entire life. Yesterday, despite everything that this franchise has put me through over the years, yesterday, about 7 o'clock last night, I stood up in the Bro Cave. I took every black and gold Florida Lee hat, of which I have about 15, off the walls, off the hooks that surround the Bro Cave. I put them all into a box, and I put them away. Because as of right now, while I am a New Orleans Saints fan, and I am a fan of the city of New Orleans, I regularly call it on broadcast the greatest city in the United States of America. While I am a fan, I cannot support this team right now. If you did not hear the story yesterday, some emails leaked from a subpoena that was issued to the New Orleans Saints a number of months ago. It was known already that Gail Benson, the owner of the New Orleans Saints, who absolutely should not be, that Gail Benson provided some level of support to the Archdiocese, the Catholic Church, down in New Orleans. Because the Catholic Church had a massive rash of sexual assault on children around their archdiocese. To the point that the Archbishop down in New Orleans, Louisiana, came under fire after that archdiocese had paid out like a lot of money in settlements to victims of sexual abuse of members of the clergy and members of the church. Yesterday, a group of emails got released that further detailed the interaction between Gail Benson, the owner of the New Orleans Saints, and other members of the top brass of this organization. Greg Bensel, who is the chief PR strategist for the team at that point, and others. And effectively what we learned was that the New Orleans Saints were utilizing their club resources in order to not just provide advice on how to handle the situation to the Archdiocese in New Orleans, but were actively providing them resources and insight, and were taking advantage of their relationship with working media around the around the city of New Orleans to help the Archdiocese cover up some of the names that were listed in a report of the accusations and settlements against the church, and to provide them with platforms in local media that they could utilize to try to revamp their image as they went through millions of dollars worth of settlements and a stream of allegations of child abuse against minors. Gail Benson asked Greg Bensel, the PR chief for the New Orleans Saints at the time, to step in and serve as effectively the crisis coordinator for the Archdiocese, for the Catholic Church in New Orleans, Louisiana. Effectively, and I do have to be careful about how I say this, but I don't think I'm stepping on any thin limbs here. Effectively, Gail Benson utilized the resources of the New Orleans Saints to help the church try to squash accusations, try to squash stories, and try to protect clergy members and church administrators who were being not just accused of, but credibly accused of child molestation at a point in time where the Archdiocese was already paying out millions of dollars in settlements. You know, I've griped on this radio station. I've griped on every radio station I've been on many times about the management of this football team. And honestly, it's kind of whatever, right? It's just that's part of being a sports fan. And unfortunately, it's a bigger part of being a sports fan for some teams than others, but it's kind of part of the territory. And when you're brought up as a Saints fan, you get used to it. But to find out that my owner was utilizing assets of the football team, resources of the football team, contacts of the football team, resources and contacts that they have only because they are a National Football League franchise, in order to assist in the cover-up of sexual assault against minors. I can't rectify this. I can't justify this. I can't rationalize this. So I will say right now, I don't know that it's going to matter because I'm just one guy. I can tell you that on all of my Saints message boards and whatnot that I visited yesterday as this story was beginning to find sunshine, that I'm not alone. However, I don't know if it's going to matter. I cannot and I will not and I will no longer support this football team or engage with this football team as long as Gail Benson is the owner of this football team. I will not be buying merchandise from this football team. I will not be, not that I get to very often, but I will not be attending games of this football team. I will not be watching this football team when the fall rolls around. I will be doing nothing that gives any level of benefit to this football team while Gail Benson remains the owner of the football team. I am right now, and again, I'm just some dork with a microphone in Greenville, South Carolina. But I am right now calling upon Roger Goodell, calling upon the rest of the owners of the National Football League to demand that Gail Benson sell the team and remove herself as the owner. What she has done is heinous. What she has done is unacceptable. I do not want to hear about how much good the church does in that community. I don't care. I don't care. I don't want to hear a word about the benefit of the Archdiocese of New Orleans, Louisiana. I don't want to hear a word about the positive of the church in that community when it relates to Gail Benson. Not a word. The next statement that I want to hear is whether it is of her own volition or it is because the NFL stepped in. The only thing that I want to hear from this point moving forward, the only thing I want to hear is that Gail Benson is in talks to sell the team. And I don't care who you sell it to. I don't care if you sell it to an investment firm who doesn't give a damn about football. This is unacceptable. It is gross. It is heinous. It is evil. There are no other words for this. Everything about this makes my skin crawl. My team has been bad for a long time. I got used to it. I don't care about Bounty Gate. I don't care about salary cap hell. I don't care about Mickey Loomis's GM decisions. This is the first time since I was born coming up on 40 years ago that I am embarrassed. I am ashamed. All of my gear was put away yesterday, and none of it will come back out until the NFL forces or Gail Benson realizes she must sell and move on from this football team. I will do nothing more than cover them in relation to the NFL, the NFC South. That is the most you are getting out of it, Gail Benson. Sell the team and take your gross, evil self out of the equation now. You're a bad person. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. We've talked in the past, in years gone by, we have talked about what, if anything, could make you walk away from your favorite team. And ordinarily, it's stuff like trading away a 25-year-old generational superstar in the middle of the night over a Saturday into Sunday for, at least on the surface level, no good reasons. It has been giving not just a contract to a guy like a Deshaun Watson, but wrapping up the next 8 years of your franchise in a contract with a guy like Deshaun Watson. Which I guess is in the same vein, though I would argue in a different way. I didn't think that I would ever honestly say, I'm out. Legitimately. I didn't think that there would ever be a point in time where a team that I have loved like a family member for my entire life. You can find pictures if you wanted to look through my mom's house real hard. You can find pictures of a young and frankly adorable Rob Brown outfitted in New Orleans Saints gear. I very much remember my seventh birthday party. Seventh birthday party had all the kids over from Miss Gherkin's class, including a young lady by the name of Ashley Powell, who I was very fond of at this point in time, who showed up to my birthday party and gifted me a New Orleans Saints shirt. I'm relatively sure that's the first time I felt love. I very much remember when the New Orleans Saints won, had their first winning season, and went to the playoffs. They beat, in the final week of the regular season, the Rams. Akeem drops the ball. Brian Millier, the most unlikely of heroes. That was the call made by Jim Henderson, the play-by-play guy. We won the division for the first time in my life. Went to the playoffs for the first time in anybody's life. And my old man, the very next weekend, packed us up and took us over to New Orleans. And I was like, why are we going? And he goes, because we've won the division for the first time. We've made the playoffs for the first time. We are going to grab some Saints stuff. We drove to New Orleans to go to the Black and Gold shop and to stock up on New Orleans Saints playoffs merch because it had never been made before. I also realize now in retrospect it was so that my dad could watch our first ever playoff game with my uncles, who still lived there at the time. But it was dressed up as the Saints made the playoffs. It's the first time that's ever happened. We got to go get the boys some new shirts. And we did. I have memories spanning my entire lifetime with this football club. I have thousands of dollars of merchandise in my house. I have been to, if I had to guess over my lifetime, north of 50 New Orleans Saints games in the Superdome. I have seen that team play more than I've seen any other team at any other level play. I have worked every Greenville Swamp Rabbit home game with a few exceptions for the past 3 years running. I have still been to more Saints games than Greenville Swamp Rabbit games. This team has been a massive... On Sundays, 1 o'clock rolls around, Saints kick off. That is the time that every single Sunday, the text thread between my mom, my little brother, and I flares up. And we just text in a group text about our team through the games. Ordinarily, a lot of vulgarity involved. If you'd have told me a handful of years ago that something was going to happen that was going to make me take everything black and gold with a fleur-de-lis on it and throw it all into a bucket and put it up in my attic, vowing not to take it back out until there was an ownership change. If you would have told me that there would be a point in my life where I would take a vow not to watch Saints football. And I've excused a lot. I've excused a lot, and my rationalization, my justification has always been, well, you know, it's not the player's fault. It's not the player's fault. It's not the fans' fault that this thing happened. We and the boys that play on Sundays should not be punished for the misdeeds of people in the front office of this organization. And for years, I have rationalized and accepted questionable behavior from leaders of my football team by saying, it's not my fault. It's not Drew Brees' fault. It's not Reggie Bush's fault. It's not Chris Olave's fault. It's not Will Smith's fault. It's not Cam Ward's fault, right? It's none of these guys' fault. I never knew that one day I would get to answer the question, what could your team do that would make you walk away? We have this peak off-season radio, right? Midway through every June, we get to a spot where, you know, baseball's kind of in a little bit of a lull. There's no basketball. We're still a couple of months away from football camps firing up. And we get to a spot where there's just not a lot going on. Peak off-season radio. And in peak off-season radio, you start asking and answering hypothetical questions. It's peak off-season radio. And one of the topics of conversation that always comes up during peak off-season radio is, could your team do anything that makes you walk away? And I think I've genuinely always answered that question with, probably not, right? I've invested too much. And it's not just about money. It's about time. It's about energy. It's about emotion. You invest with those things as well. You think investment, ordinarily our mind goes to money. But realistically speaking, you invest time, you invest energy, you invest emotion as well. Relationships, I think all of you know this, relationships are founded for many of us, rooted in sports. A large number of my relationships, even including within my own family, are centered around this football team. I did not know I'd ever find an answer to the question, but I have. The answer to the question, could your team ever do anything that makes you as a fan walk away and say, I'm done. I can't be a fan right now. It turns out the answer is yes. And it turns out the answer for me is the owner of my football club could use my football club, its resources, its time, etc. They could use that to cover up the molestation of children by the Catholic Church in New Orleans. That's what it took. That's what it took. They could go to bat for the Archbishop of that diocese in New Orleans They could provide crisis communication management strategies. They could utilize their contacts with local media in order to send out friendly home field advantage interviews. In one article that was put out yesterday, I believe by the New York Times, one of the things that it turns out they did was go to the New Orleans Times-Picayune, the biggest paper in New Orleans, and effectively provide an interviewer access to the Archbishop for an interview, but with a list of questions that he was allowed to ask and not allowed to ask. Now, you might go, well, why did the Times-Picayune agree to it? Here's the answer. Because the New Orleans Saints are beloved in the city of New Orleans, Louisiana. It's a huge part of the cultural fabric of that city. And if the team, and this is something that I know a lot of journalists in years gone by have dealt with, if the team comes to you and says, hey, local journalist, we need a favor. It's not that you're obligated to do it, but you absolutely do understand that if you don't do it, you may receive diminished access to the team. You may be cut off from the team entirely. And a newspaper in New Orleans that is unable to cover the local NFL team is a newspaper that dies. It just is. It's a newspaper that dies. Doesn't matter the city or the size of it. If you can't cover your local NFL team, if you can't provide coverage of that franchise, your newspaper dies. Do I fault the Times-Picayune? You're damn right I do. You're damn right I do. Worst case, run that article and in that article say, hey, you know what, Saints? We'll do it. But we want a disclaimer that says you provided the questions and the answers. Say no to that, and we can report whether you said no to that or not. The fact that my team is owned by somebody who saw that her church was not just credibly accused of, but was found liable of the molestation of children. And she decided the best interest was to protect not the franchise, not the business, not the shield. By the way, where the hell's Roger Goodell right now? The fact that she decided her first line was to go defend the people who did the molesting and not the people who got molested, I cannot, in good faith or conscience, support that. I cannot do anything from this point forward that puts a dime in the pocket of Gail Benson, that puts a dime in the pocket of the New Orleans Saints, because those resources and those assets that they utilized to protect the Catholic Church in New Orleans, those assets and those resources were paid for by me, because I'm the one that buys the merch. I'm the one that's bought hundreds of tickets over the years. When you include me bringing people to games, hundreds of tickets. I'm the one who tunes every Sunday onto the TV and bumps up the ratings so that the NFL and the Saints can get big fat stacks of television money that goes into the pocket of Gail Benson. I'm the one responsible for all of that. And I am not going to allow a dime of mine to go to Gail Benson or to go to the defense of the Catholic Church when they are not just credibly accused of, but have been found liable of the molestation of children and an effort to cover it up. It's gross, it's heinous, and these people, while they have done nothing illegal, the consequence should be you can't own this team anymore. You just can't. Roger Goodell, 31 other owners around the league, step in and make this woman sell the football team so that some of us can love the things that we love again. Because right now I can't. All right, what a fun start to the day, right, everybody? Right? Let's let Lonzo pick up the mood with the sports flash.
Okay. One of baseball's most accurate umpires, 30. Let's talk about cheating because that makes things feel better. 38-year-old Pat Horberg was fired yesterday for sharing a sports gambling account with a friend who bet on baseball and deleting messages key to an investigation into his conduct. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred said there was no evidence Horberg directly gambled on games or provided information to others. Horberg accepted the punishment, claiming he only asked a friend to place wagers for him on the account. He is eligible to apply for reinstatement in 28. Yeah, man, that wasn't mine. I was just holding it for a friend. Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp was informed the team will trade him. Kupp is headed into the second year of a three-year contract and has spent 8 years in L.A. and has regularly stated his hope to finish his career with the team. Apparently not going to. Tune in tomorrow night at 6:30. Furman Paladins take on the Western Carolina Catamounts. Furman versus Western Carolina right here on The Fan.